Welcome to episode 2 of Just Saying. I'm Julio.
And I'm Shiloh.
You're a little late there, buddy.
I thought that you were going to introduce me. I didn't realize that I would introduce myself, but I got it in there.
We did it like that the first time, so it's understandable. But let's get right into it, man. We got a lot to talk about this week.
Yeah, we definitely do.
It's been a crazy week for sports, man.
You know, so there's been a lot going on. Quite a few big things happened in the NFL. I know we're starting to get into the early talks of free agency and trade rumors in the MLB. And then the NBA season has kicked off. So we've got some interesting stuff to talk about there.
Yeah, we've got a lot. We're going to try to jam pack it into one episode. So let's get right off into it. And let's talk about the elephant in the room. The Ravens against the Browns. I mean, what a game.
That was the game of the season. Ravens-Browns, that was the game of the season by far. I did not expect it to go nearly – I didn't expect it to be nearly as close as it was. Put a bet on the game. Yeah, so I bet on the Ravens covering the spread, which at the time was 3. And especially at the end there, when they had just kicked the go-ahead field goal, they were up by 3 points. Yeah. And Cleveland was doing whatever it was that they could just to, you know, they were doing the old lateral, trying to get down the field. And they were just going in the wrong direction consistently. And when he ran out of the back of the end zone, I jumped off the couch and screamed, that's a safety. That's 2 points. They covered the spread. I won that bet, which was huge. That was super exciting. But the entire game, I mean, it was exciting to watch, high scoring. The defenses didn't show up the way I wanted them to, but they still, you know, kind of flashed here and there. There was some good play on special teams. I just thought it was an awesome game to watch. And if that's the future of the AFC North, then I think as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I should start to be a little concerned.
Well, you know how I feel about the Cleveland Browns. So I came into this expecting that the Ravens were going to win. I didn't expect it to be that close, but I don't know, man. The Browns are kind of growing on me. I'm not going to say they're legit yet. Like everybody is saying, they let them at least win a playoff game before we can call them legit. Like they haven't done anything.
Okay, I hear you, because the Bengals a few years back made the playoffs several times and couldn't win a game. So I'd agree with that.
So like, this is what I'm saying. Let them get like something done. This is their best record in a long time. I understand that. But that doesn't translate to the playoffs. You know, you got teams that are preparing for you, that you're going to be playing these good teams. I was looking at the Browns, their schedule. They haven't beaten really great teams. I mean, just looking real quick at who they've played. They beat the Eagles by 5, and the Eagles are awful. They barely got past the Titans. It was a good win, though.
They got walloped by the Steelers.
They beat the Jaguars by 2. I mean, what are we getting excited about, really? Like,
I don't know. I think people are getting excited about the fact that they can score points. They've got this offense that it seems like the Browns go as Baker goes. If Baker is hot, if Baker's having himself a day, having a good game, the Browns are going to put up points. They're going to have a good game. If Baker's, you know, if he doesn't have his best stuff, it's going to be a different story. And so yeah. I think that you really got to remember that it's just, if Baker plays well, the Browns play well. And I don't think they've had good quarterback play in a long time. So I think that's definitely a reason to get excited.
And how about Lamar Jackson, man? You're his biggest hater, but he just went out and won that game for them. He's so energetic.
He's just entering the fourth quarter.
He's the fastest guy on the field.
He's the fastest and the most athletic guy on the field, but through the fourth quarter, he had 7 completions.
Okay,
the start of the fourth quarter. How do you have 7? As an NFL quarterback with a team that's put up over, I think, 30 points at that point. How do you only have 7 completions? Because I mean, I understand that their offense works the way, you know, it's a running offense. They've got blocking tight ends, blocking receivers, a good offensive line, great running backs. I know that that's the way that they operate, but you can't call yourself an NFL caliber quarterback if you can't complete more than 7 passes through 3 quarters of football. When you put up 30 points, it just doesn't make sense to me.
He's not what you're used to being an NFL quarterback. That's the problem.
I don't think
you know the game is going towards this. They're like a really good college offense. You know what I mean?
I mean, I hear what you're saying. I can't say that I agree.
All right. Well, let's move on to some of the other games. We had week 14. We got the Eagles surprising everybody, beating the Saints. What did you think about that? Did you expect? Well, you obviously didn't expect it. But what do you think is going on with the Saints?
I think the Saints are experiencing just that end of season burnout, and I think it's good that they're experiencing it now rather than come playoff time for their benefit. It's good to kind of, you know, get that humbling loss similar to Pittsburgh against the Redskins, and then again this week they lost to the Bills.
So you're gonna call that a humbling?
I'm gonna call the loss to Washington humbling. I'm gonna call the loss to the Bills an eye opener for the Steelers.
They better be ready, man. The Steelers have had some suspect games.
They really have. They've no running game. Wide receivers can't catch balls. There's no blocking on the offensive line, opening up holes in the running game. Their defense is missing 5 starters. It's getting embarrassing.
I mean, and you got, you know, the Packers, they just squeezed by the Lions, and the Lions are awful.
The Lions are awful, but Matthew Stafford is not. And I think that the fact that they're in the same division and the fact that Matthew Stafford is still a good player, I think they're going to play him similar to, like, I mean, think about it. Anytime the Steelers play the Bengals, it's a close, hard-fought game. And I think that's because even though the teams haven't always been on the same playing field, I think that there's a lot to be said about a team that wants to be competitive against one of their division rivals. And I think that's what you saw there.
It wasn't a hard-fought game for the Cowgirls with the Bengals. I mean, they went out and did their thing, but come on, man, that's the Bengals. How sad of a fan base do you have to be excited about beating the Bengals?
I don't think it's necessarily being sad about getting excited to beating the Bengals. I'm just using them as an example, saying, you know, if the Bengals are going to, you know, play harder against certain opponents because they see them as a rival, because they see the game as more important, I think that that could translate for a game like Packers Lions. And then the Cowboys, for example, you know, they're a team that no one will disagree with you if you say, you know, they've got good players on their team. I mean, they've got Dak, granted he's hurt. They've got Zeke not performing. They've got a solid offensive line, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup. You know, they've got some playmakers on defense. So I think people realize that they've got the potential. But, you know, when your division looks like the NFC East does, any win is going to be a win to be celebrated, whether it's against the Bengals or if it's against the Chiefs. I mean,
yeah,
that win gets you one step closer to a playoff berth, and that's all you need is to get hot at the right time. You know what I mean? And I don't think that'll carry them to a Super Bowl, but it could carry them farther than we think.
I don't know. We'll have to see about that. But I got to tell you, man, I'm really starting to like the I was about to call them, you know what, the Washington football team.
I agree. I think that they're better than people give them credit for. I think that Alex Smith has a decent amount to do with that. I think he's a proven NFL quarterback who, despite that gruesome injury a few years back, has done his best to make a comeback and prove that he belongs in the league.
I feel like they're the feel-good story of the season. I mean, you got Alex Smith coming back from that terrible injury. You got a really good young defense. You got Chase Young balling out.
You've also got a ton of the offseason drama with the name change and all the allegations, which, I mean, granted, if things were being done as shady as they were in those back offices and what they were doing with the cheerleaders and everything, shame on them. But just the fact that they've been able to Oh, you didn't hear about that? Yeah, so back in the summer before the season started, the there were former cheerleaders, people in the back office who said that it was a really toxic environment. I mean, cheerleaders were being exploited. There was harassment running rampant, a lot of issues going on behind the scenes there. So the fact that they're able to, it was a big story. Yeah, you'll have to look into it after we
finish. Wow, I'm surprised I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, no, it was big news. And that was, you know, right around the same time as the name change. But, you know, there was a lot of COVID news. It was kind of height of the pandemic. We still didn't know a lot, so it probably slipped through the cracks for you. But no, the fact that the players have been able to tune out all that noise and perform the way they've been able to perform, Terry McLaurin, Antonio Gibson, I mean, they're...
Yeah, he's balling out.
And their defense is top 10 in the league. They deserve credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing really good. We got the Cardinals beating the Giants, which isn't Cardinals. Really surprising, but...
The Cardinals are on a different level. They do need to step it up, though, if they expect to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they do need to step it up come the playoffs, but I really like this team. I feel like they can make a good playoff push this year. And then we got the Chiefs-Dolphins also, which surprisingly was a pretty good game.
I mean, it was. I think the Dolphins are better than people give them credit for, and I think that shows that the Chiefs, there's a recipe to slow them down. You're never going to stop that offense, but there's a recipe to slow them down. The Raiders know what that recipe is, and I think that the Dolphins use that game tape to kind of adjust their strategy and bottle up the offense as much as it could in hopes that they could keep up, and they almost did.
Yeah, that people are going to be watching that film like it's Netflix, but what's scary is the Chiefs still put up 33 points.
They did.
That's...
They did. It's it's concerning.
Yeah, and then you got the Bucks.
Not named the Chiefs.
What was that?
I said it's concerning for anybody not named the Chiefs.
You got that right. Like I was saying, we got the Bucks beating the Vikings, which they look kind of sketchy in the first quarter and first part of that game, but they got it back together because the Vikings just completely blew it.
But, they really fell apart.
Buccaneers, I don't know what's going on with them. What do you think is – why aren't they what people thought they were going to be? What I thought they were going to be?
I mean, I don't know. They're kind of a different team each week. You never know what you're going to get from them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that game against the Saints, yeah, just – I felt bad.
Oh, I didn't feel bad. I definitely didn't feel bad.
And no, then I the Rams. That... Oh, what was
ahead.
It?
No, go ahead. I was just going to reiterate what I said.
Yeah. And then the Rams, you know, destroyed my Patriots. We're not going to talk too much about that. We can move on.
No, that was some revenge from the Super Bowl.
We can move on to the next topic at that point. So we've got some news coming out of Cleveland that they are going to change the name. They're going to let go.
That's right. The Cleveland Indians, the baseball team. That's right. So
they've been known as the Indians for 100 years, but they're going to be moving away from that. They said in a statement, they're not changing it as of yet. They don't have a replacement as of yet, but they're going to be working towards that. What do you think about this whole trend? Is it, I don't know, like, maybe I'm just, you know, desensitized to this kind of thing, but is it that big of a deal?
I don't know. I think that they're following in the footsteps of the Washington football team, and I think that if the name has a negative effect on anybody, that they should consider changing. I think that I'm not in a position where it affects me, but I also don't understand the perspective of the people that it might upset and offend. So for that reason, I'm going to say I understand it. I think it's the right choice because, like I said, I just don't know enough myself to determine, you know, whether or not that's the right move. So I'm going to trust that they're making the right decision, and I'm going to support it.
I mean, that makes sense. That if the people who it affects, if they feel offended by it, the nice thing would be, you know, to move away from it. I just feel like I haven't heard. I don't know if I'm just not in the loop. I haven't heard anybody bring it up. Like, oh man, that ball team, they're just really offensive. Like, I just haven't heard it.
Exactly. But again, if they think that's the right decision to make to, you know, to avoid marginalizing any certain groups of people, I think it's the right choice. And I don't think there's, you know, any harm in making the change.
There's definitely better names out there. I mean, those weren't great names. Like, I would have trouble cheering for a team that had those names, but I don't know.
I agree. Yeah. We are running short on time, and I still want to hit a couple of those NBA topics. I know we have some news about James Harden.
All right, so we got big news coming out of Houston with this article here that dropped talking about how the culture of the Houston Rockets was pretty much toxic since James Harden got there. It's an article by ESPN staff writer Tim McMahon, where he says that the Houston Rockets culture in the James Harden era was based off of three words. Can you guess what those three words were, Shyler?
I have no idea, but would it immediately...
Give me your best guess.
I'm at a loss for words, but the first thing that I do think is, has James Harden had this reputation? You know, have there been toxic locker rooms in the other cities that he's played in?
That's more than three words. Or is this new?
I might have more than three, but those are the words that I have.
The three words that summed up the Houston Rockets culture were whatever James wants. That's it. I mean, reading this article was insane. It goes on to say, if the Rockets had 2 or 3 days between games, it was a good bet Harden would call for an off day, charter a private jet to party in Vegas or another city. He always gets an excused absence from the first practice after All-Star break for the same reason. And they just chalked it up to James being James.
That's interesting.
You know?
I had never really heard that. I don't know, I guess that side of things about him. I always assumed he was just kind of a competitor, a team guy, someone who kind of kept quiet, kept to himself, but...
Oh, it gets worse. He could call shots. He had the final say on things beyond just travel and practice schedules. He could call the shots on personnel moves, on the roster and the coaching staff. He was pushing for the firing of Kevin McHale, who got fired. That was their coach. And he played a role in the departures of Dwight Howard and Chris Paul. And they considered it good business. They were happy to do it as long as James Harden was happy.
Now, they took the whole, you're our best player, so you're also going to be our GM approach. That's shameful that the organization allowed that to happen.
Okay, so you're on that side. You're on the side saying, I blame this on the organization.
100%. I mean, obviously that doesn't mean that I don't think that what James Harden is doing is immature, a poor example of what a leader should be. But I think that the organization is, you know, in charge in these situations. And I think that they should have the brass to put their foot down and say, this is the way it goes. If you don't like it, our organization is more important than any one player, and we're not going to compromise any of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but here's the thing. There wasn't much of an organization before James Harden got there. I mean, they missed the playoffs the first 3 years before James Harden got there. And since he got there, they haven't missed the playoffs all 8 seasons he was there. That's the only team in the NBA that can say that. For the past 8 seasons have been to the NBA except for the Houston Rockets. And who was there those 8 seasons? James Harden.
I hear what you're saying, but think of it like this. How were the Patriots before Tom Brady showed up? I mean, they were never in the conversation. Tom Brady shows up. They win 6 Super Bowls, 9 or 10 appearances in over 20 years. And Tom Brady left because he didn't get enough pull around the league and the or around the organization. He won them 6 Super Bowls with Bill Belichick, and he didn't get that kind of power or control over the team. James Harden is nowhere near the basketball equivalent of what Tom Brady is. He has had nowhere near the success. And I don't think he's – if Tom Brady hasn't earned that right, I don't think James Harden has earned that right.
But there's a big difference. You got Bill Belichick in Foxborough. But James Harden has been MVP caliber multiple seasons. He's literally never injured. Even in the article it says he'll have multiple days off, go party somewhere, come back and drop a 50-point triple-double. Like, if he's bringing, you know, what he's supposed to be bringing to the table, he kind of earned it. I understand he shouldn't have gone that far, but, I mean, that's, again, the organization shouldn't allow it to get to this point. But
they shouldn't have.
If you have a star like that, you've got to give him something to want to stay there. They gave too much, though. I'd agree with that.
I think you're right, though, in saying that you got to give him something, but they definitely, in my opinion, gave too much.
I mean,
think about it. LeBron James has had kind of, you know, it's never been outright and obvious, but he can kind of choose what team he's wanted to go to, what coaches he's wanted there. He has the influence to bring other players there who might want to ring chase. And LeBron James is undisputed best player in the NBA for the last how many years? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's same with Kobe Bryant. I mean, Kobe turned into a verb because of that guy, and he didn't have that kind of pull over the Lakers. So I don't think any one individual on any team should have that much influence. Like I said, I agree that as a star and, you know, given what he's done for the team, he should get some special treatment. For example, a veteran quarterback in the NFL might get Wednesdays off to keep the legs fresh just because they've been there, they've done that, they've proved that they can still perform. So, you know, maybe a veteran's day off now and then is understandable. But to give him the keys to the castle the way that they did, I don't agree with it.
Yeah. I mean, there's even this so they were in the bubble, and James Harden waited until the last minute to schedule his daily COVID test right before the Rockets had a film sesh on purpose. It's got to be on purpose, or you just don't care to the point you don't know when the film session starts or if you're late. And it says here that Russell Westbrook had just had it. He was screaming, start the film without him. D'Antoni wouldn't, because he's like, I'm just going to have to start it over. I mean, this is just, it's unprofessional, man, but.
It is, and it's a distraction to the rest of the players on the team.
But now we'll see. You've
got other guys there that show up and try to play every day, and then you have this nonsense to deal with.
There's videos going around of Harden. He gave Lil Baby a birthday present, a Prada bag stuffed with honey buns, $100,000 cash, and a Richard Mille watch worth 6 figures instead of going to training camp. So,
so you want to be a gangster?
That just gives you an idea of how things are going.
That's unbelievable. I've never heard anything like that. I don't know. I'd be interested to see where this story goes.
He might go to the Nets is what they're saying, which is I would love to see that. Kevin Durant, which is a weirdo. Kyrie Irving, a bigger weirdo. And now James Harden. That would just be. And then the New York media.
Yeah, that Kevin would be Durant and Kyrie, they don't seem like the type of guys that would be okay with Harden doing what he's doing. And I don't think any New York team, whether you're the Nets, the Bills, the Yankees, I don't think any of those teams or the New York media is going to allow a player to behave the way that it seems like Harden has up to this point.
They already got a diva in Kyrie Irving who refuses to talk to the media for whatever reason. Like, isn't that in your contract? I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if it's in your contract. I thought it was. I know in the NFL, like for example, Marshawn Lynch would always go to interviews and say, "I'm just here so I don't get fined," simply because it's one of like if you're a player in the league, you're required to talk to the media.
He's just weird. Like, just answer basketball. It's not that hard. You get paid millions of dollars to play basketball and then talk about it for 15 minutes after each game. That's tough.
Oh, I hear you. I can understand, though, the New York media, you know, the same questions. They're trying to ask leading questions to get you to slip up. So I can understand it. But I'd be interested, just because we're running out of time, I'd be interested to keep tabs on this and bring it up in a later episode to see how the James Harden situation and the Kyrie situation have progressed. Is Harden still going to be on the same team? Is he going to be somewhere else?
I don't know. They're talking about trading Ben Simmons for him.
Kyrie going to face discipline for not talking to the media?
Well, he'll get fined.
I'm curious to see what's going to happen and how everything plays out.
He'll get fined for sure. And just before we close it out, I just wanted to bring up LaMelo Ball, who has been throwing some flashes of potential. They played the Raptors, I believe it was. And he's a really good passer, man. I think he's going to be the best one out of his brothers.
He very well could be. I have to say, I was pretty skeptical of the whole Ball family when they first kind of broke onto the scene a few years ago. But I mean, those kids all seem to be able to perform at the next level. So, I mean, they got to be doing something right. They can market themselves well. Good for them.
You got to tip your hat to LaVar Ball, man. I mean, to have both of your kids drafted top 10 in the NBA.
That's a feat.
That's major.
The only other family I think that compete with that can compete is either the Manning family or the Watt family. I mean, I can't think of another sports family that's done that.
It's on that level. I mean, they haven't played to the level that those people have in the league, but
in terms of draft selection and potential, absolutely.
LiAngelo's not making it, though. He just got cut from the Pistons. I think
we might have seen the end of it.
I couldn't hear you.
No, I can't say I don't agree. Oh, I just said I kind of have to agree.
Yeah.
I kind of have to agree. But I think on that note, it's a good spot to wrap it up. I think we had some good conversation about what happened in the NFL this past week. I'm excited to pick up on that again, see how things have changed, what teams are showing more promise the closer we get to the playoffs. And I'm really excited to see what happens with James Harden, especially. So on that note, I think we're ready to wrap up episode 2.
All right, real quick before we wrap it up, Chiefs Saints next week, who you got?
Chiefs Saints. So I saw earlier that this is going to be one of the top 5 best games all time beyond week 15, meaning one of the highest combined winning percentages. I got to go with the Chiefs.
Who do you got?
I
got
to go with the Chiefs. I think that youthful exuberance is going to beat Drew Brees, especially if Drew Brees isn't there. If he's not playing, I think it's no question Chiefs are going to win it. Drew Brees, I think, could be an X factor, but I got to go with the Chiefs.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in again for another episode of Just Saying with us. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Please subscribe. If you did enjoy the conversation, even if you didn't, just subscribe, you know? It's free. It's not going to hurt you. just press the subscribe button.
Completely free. That's a good point.
Yeah. What do you lose by subscribing? Nothing. That's the answer.
All right. Let's wrap it up on that note.